Shalom, everyone. President Trump was in Davos, Switzerland this week, setting up the Board of Peace, inviting many nations to be members of that board, all of this for the benefit of Gaza. And the U.S. and Israel are preparing for military action against Iran. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries, and welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, January 23rd of the year 2026. Here's the news for the week. President Trump made his way over to Davos. They were supposed to be pulling together many nations to be sign up for his new Board of Peace. This is the organization he's setting up to oversee the negotiations for Gaza and what is to happen after the war is completely over with there. Literally everybody has been invited to be on this board, in fact, including 8 Muslim nations. Even Vladimir Putin has been invited. The 2 noteworthy nations that are not invited to be is Iran and the Palestinian Authority. Even Netanyahu was invited to be part of it, and he agreed. And essentially what we saw when he was in Davos and the speech that he gave is what I referred to as a power formula. There is a leadership technique formula that goes something like this. It says, if you have the power, but the people don't know you have the power, then you don't have the power. If you don't have the power, but the people think you have the power, then you have the power. And then finally, if you have the power and the people know you have the power, you really have the power. And that last stage is what President Trump was projecting in Davos in front of all the nations. Literally, he went in and overpowered all of those nations to be a part of this Board of Peace. And at this moment, it almost looks like a complete replacement for the United Nations. And essentially, the United Nations is taking a step back, deciding what will happen with the Palestinians and with Gaza and with Israel in that conflict. And now it's going to come under the power and control of this Board of Peace and the technocratic committee that's being formed up under it. President Trump is definitely throwing his weight around. Now, the dominant subject that you heard in the news media wasn't so much about Gaza and this Board of Peace, but instead was about Greenland. And the president has been talking about that he wants Greenland to come under U.S. control. Well, in the course of this week, of course, there were protests in Greenland that they don't want to do that. That Denmark, which owns Greenland as a territory, is objecting to it. The Europeans were threatening the president. There was even a hint that Trump might use military force. Well, he allayed all of the fears with regard to that, saying that no force will be used, that we need to put together a deal. And then suddenly, coming out of Switzerland, there was the statement being made that a framework of agreement has been formed. Now, the news media kept asking a question, what is this framework? How does this work? And even Fox News was asking, does this mean that Denmark is giving up control? I mean, what is this agreement? The best information that I have is that basically the U.S. is going to buy it. And they're going to give, the hint is $700 billion to Denmark, and they're going to give $100,000 to each citizen that lives in Denmark of the 57,000 people that live there. And that he's just going to buy the place. And that way, the U.S. is able to use that territory for their security against a Russian missile attack and to be able to defend it still within NATO. So all of those things are taking place. We'll have to see what the definition is. That information I just shared with you about buying Greenland is rumor at best, but that's the best information I can give you at this point. So let's talk about Gaza again, because that's what that Board of Peace was all about. Ron Gavilli, the last body of the hostages that were killed back on October 7th, he Israeli policeman that was killed. His body has still not yet been returned. Hamas is still saying they will not disarm. And we're right back to where we've been for a long time, and that is we have Hamas and we have Israel, and that's where it's at. Now, Trump has said, and he repeated it again this last week, that Hamas is going to be, quote, blown away in weeks if they don't disarm. And if you recall, he kind of gave them a deadline. That deadline is March 1, that the Hamas has to figure out a way to disarm. A lot of different discussions about how they could do it. Maybe they demilitarize as opposed to disarm. Maybe they give up their heavy weapons, but they can keep their small arms. Maybe amnesty be granted to them if they turn their arms in. There's a lot of different discussions going on trying to get some kind of non-military, non-hostile way to get Hamas to give it up. Some of the Hamas leaders are agreeing to move on and leave Hamas and go someplace else. But the Hamas terrorists that are in Gaza, they don't have any place to go, and they're still there. This last week, there was another violation of the ceasefire. Israel did do a counterstrike. There were 11 people killed in Gaza in the airstrike, including three journalists. And according to reports, two children were killed in that strike. Again, another offense against the ceasefire done by Hamas. Israel responded, and innocent people apparently get killed in the process. It's an ongoing struggle with Hamas in that regard. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, that's the old saying that we used to say back in my youth when we wanted to shift topics. We have to shift to a very important topic now, and that is the subject of Iran. This last week, we got more and more reports about the protests going on in Iran. They seem to have subsided to a very great extent. They are now admitting that that thousands of people have been killed. Many people have been arrested. The one thing that is for sure is the Islamic regime has definitely been weakened. Have they been weakened enough that they will lose control of the government? Well, that's what the question is that everybody's thinking about. I'm not sure the protests have quite pulled that off. It's very clear that Khomeini is going to try to remain as long as he has the support of the IRGC, the Islamic Republican Guard. They're the major military unit that control a lot of the country. They're the ones that back Khomeini for what he does. Now, the word is that Iran is about to get hit again. Israel has come to Mar-a-Lago. Netanyahu sat down with Trump last week, the week before, I should say, and discussed about the need. They've got to take those missiles out because they are a great threat to Israel. I think the president agreed that that threat's got to be taken out. But more importantly, now that there's a possibility of regime change, the question is, if they hit them militarily, could they go ahead and topple the Islamic government and the IRGC? That's a very tall order for a military strike to accomplish that. But maybe a military strike in conjunction with the civilian population rising up against the government could topple the regime and cause it to happen. The U.S. has indicated that they are in agreement with Israel to do that. The question is timing. Now, at the moment, the U.S. is pulling all of its military resources together. Again, back in the region, a big carrier battle group is moving from Asia into the Indian Ocean, probably on the southern side of Iran. Trump has clearly indicated and publicly said he wants a battle plan from the Department of War that is decisive, that will get in, get out, and accomplish something. Now, as to whether or not the Department of War has completed that, I'm pretty sure they've given him a number of options on how to do that, and conjunction call coordinated with Israel. So it's probably going to be a joint operation between Israel and the United States to do it. It's now a question really of timing and so forth. One of the bigger questions that I think has got to be asked at this point, let's say that the military operation is successful. Let's say that the citizenry rises up in conjunction with it. Let's say that Khomeini leaves the country. the IRGC collapses and is no longer functioning in control of the country. Who's going to lead Iran afterwards? There's no apparent leader that can step up to the task. Even the former prince of the Shah, he has a very small following, and there's a lot of people in Iran that remember they didn't like the Shah when he was in there before. And the hope is to have a democratic-style government in there, but the question is, how in the world are they going to do it? Because it could just turn the place into utter chaos. If you recall, Iran right now, economically, is almost at the point of collapse, and they are in deep, deep trouble in terms of being able to be a viable country for the different people that live there. But if you have a regime change, maybe I guess that's the first step in recovery for the nation. What the U.S. and Israel does after that is up for grabs, and who else gets involved, we don't know at this point. Huge question as to what will be accomplished if they go in and hit them. Shifting to other topics going on in Israel, the Haredi draft bill is still making its way into the Knesset that would draft the Haredi students into the IDF. And at the moment, there's a host of draft dodgers involved. Israel's having to deal with that. Haredi are still protesting against this bill going forth. The exemption bill they wanted to put in that would exempt them from IDF service has stalled. It's not going anywhere as well. And additionally, Hezbollah is being hit by more Israeli airstrikes. It seems like every week I come and share with you about more airstrikes hitting tunnels and rocket launch areas and troops that are associated with Hezbollah. They too have not disarmed, and the Lebanese government is not going any further trying to disarm them. Of note this week that it was on the Temple Mount, Jews went up on the Temple Mount and for the first time were permitted by the Israeli police to pray on the Temple Mount. And by pray, I mean they actually took up written prayers to pray through. We're not talking about silently under your breath praying. We're talking about going up with a prayer book and doing daily prayers. And for the first time, Jews were permitted to do that. And that may just be one more step toward interest on the part of the religious Jews to be on the Temple Mount. Again, puts additional pressure on Israel's interest to be on the Temple Mount and have a part of it. We are watching that very closely because that's a prerequisite toward the end time prophetic scenario to see how that plays out. If you'll recall, Israel got fed up with the UN Relief Agency and the fact that they had conspired with Hamas to work in conjunction with them. The UNRWA headquarters in East Jerusalem, the Israeli government went in, destroyed the buildings and their headquarters, and told them they were outlawed and kicked out. Of course, the UN was very upset about that. But again, Israel has taken the position that UN agencies that are down there in the Middle East are simply working with the enemies against Israel, and Israel's not going to put up with it anymore. Not only have they been channeling monies in to help the Hamas terrorists, but UN agencies have been actively doing work for Hamas. In fact, in the course of the war with Hamas, they found several representatives of the UN actually were terrorist leaders within the Hamas ranks. There's going to be new elections in Israel next year, and so the political season has begun. There is discussion that Bennett and Lapid and Eisenkot may be forming a new political party together. If they do, there is a good possibility that that will be the strongest political party, even stronger than Likud, that Netanyahu is a part of. And projections are, as according to a poll, that they could win as many as 40 seats in the Knesset if elections were held today. That's based on opinion polls. They could then become the controlling government of Israel and outdo Netanyahu and the Likud party. Now, as to whether or not those Israeli politicians can really deal with each other's egos and get together and form that organization, I guess as we go into the next year of the political season, we'll find out whether or not that has reality. But there is a possibility of a serious threat to changing the Israeli government at the next elections. Netanyahu might be pushed out, and the Likud party could find themselves in a minority position as opposed to a majority position. One last story I want to share with you, and that is that this last week in St. Paul, Minnesota, there was a church carrying on services on Sunday. This is last weekend. And protesters, anti-ICE protesters, burst into the church, disrupted the church service, and they filmed the whole thing and are very proud of what they did and eventually did leave afterwards. And there's a big uproar about that. It's a violation of federal law, civil rights law, and it's a violation of the Constitution. That in this country, we have the right, the freedom to worship, and no one can interfere with that. It's like the right to assembly. Well, they're claiming they had the right to free speech, but they're directly in violation of other laws for it. And one of the fellows that was involved in that was named Don Lemon, and he used to be a CNN spokesman who was relieved of his duties, and he's now become an independent journalist. And several journalistic organizations have disavowed him and shut him down and say they don't recognize him as. And the question is, are these people going to be arrested and are they going to be prosecuted for what they did? I certainly hope that they are, and I certainly hope that the government doesn't hesitate or do what they normally have done in the past, which is let enough time go by that we just forget it. If they don't prosecute these people, then the signal is out to my friends, Christian friends, that the unrest and the protest and the anti-Jew hatred is going to make its way into churches today. Now, you may be saying, well, wait a minute, that was an anti-ICE protest. How does that fit into anti-Jew? Well, anti-Jewish protests mean you can be outrageous. And the anti-ICE protest, that's where they learned how to be outrageous from that. And so it's going to spread to those that are conservative, that believe in Judeo-Christian ethics, that also believe in supporting the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Our times are changing even here in this country. In other countries of the world, they already are seeing the oppression of believers and the protests against believers. It's coming our way. As I said, I hope that President Trump and the DOJ will prosecute these people to the fullest extent possible. They need to, or else it's a signal to all of us that more oppression and protests are going to be coming our way and arriving Sunday morning at your church service. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the believers, pray for Israel. We live in a very dangerous world, and it's becoming more and more dangerous as we go forward. Truly, these are the days of Noah, where violence is rising up. People do not understand what is going on, and God's judgment is looming before us all. I want to thank you personally for viewing this program and all of the other Lion and Lamb teaching programs that we have. Be sure to like, subscribe our YouTube channel, watch all of our other programs on commercial free on lionandlamb.tv, and you can sign up for a subscription, get access to our entire library of different programs we have. By the way, we have a podcast coming out to you very shortly, and I'll just give you a hint, a special Messianic World broadcast in which that I had the opportunity to interview Mr. Bill Koenig and his wife, Tanya. And Bill has been a White House reporter. He's been in the White House operating since Herbert Walker Bush and all of the presidents involved. He's involved in international politics, knows all the personalities, knows ambassadors, and his wife is a geopolitical commentator and analyst. And we sat down for a full hour and talked about the world that we live in, all the implications of what's going on. You'll hear word later on about this special broadcast. It'll be coming soon. I urge you to look forward to that. I'm excited about the broadcast. I think it'll be very enlightening for all of you. Again, it's one of our podcasts coming up. You can also subscribe to our monthly Yavo magazine. Just contact Lion and Lamb Ministries or any one of your other favorite social media platforms for other material. And as always, Shabbat Shalom to all of you. I'd like to share a special message with you, the viewers of this broadcast. Lion and Lamb Ministries, in fact, in March, will complete 30 years of operation and our broadcasts and teachings that we do here at the ministry. We have no sponsors for our programs. It's only the viewers like you who want to see us continue, that you pray for us and you contribute to us. We have always put our trust in the Lord. He's been faithful to us to provide the necessary resources, but we are aware those resources come through you, the viewers, other fellow believers. This time of the year, you're being asked by all kinds of very worthy organizations to contribute and to share some of your proceeds with them, and I guess not necessarily going into the same vein with them, but the fact of the matter is we need your help just as much as they do as well. We have three ways that you can partner with us. You can click on the QR code that's on the screen with your camera on your phone, take you to our website where you can make a donation, or you can go directly to llgive.com, make your donation there. Or you can call the ministry directly at area code 405-447-4429 as it's shown there on the screen. And we thank you for doing that, and thank you for continuing to pray with us, pray for us, and contribute and share with us.